Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. You're listening to the Qalam podcast. Alhamdulillah, for over a decade, Qalam has had the opportunity and the blessing to serve the community. And after serving the community for an entire decade and benefiting millions of people all around the world, we have reaffirmed our commitment to making Islamic knowledge accessible for all, making sure each and every single person, no matter where they are in the world, they have the ability and the opportunity to learn about the beauty of Islam. So therefore, we are conducting more classes online than ever before, videos, podcasts, recordings, we're making all of it available. We ask you to support us and become our partner in this mission and cause of educating the whole world about the beautiful religion of Islam by going to supportqalam.com. Go to supportqalam.com, make a generous contribution. Inshallah, you are investing into the mission and the cause of teaching people about Islam worldwide. Millions of people have benefited, and we hope that hundreds of millions more will benefit, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Khususan ala sayyidir rusuli wa khatamil anbiya wa ala alihi al-azkiya wa ashabihi al-atqiya. Amma ba'd. Fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. الذين ينفقون في السراء والضراء والكاظمين الغيظ والعافين عن الناس والله يحب المحسنين صدق الله العظيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has developed and created within every human being certain characteristics. So you've noticed that over the past 2 weeks of Ramadan, there have been so many different characteristics we've covered. Some of these characteristics naturally exist within human beings. From the get-go, we already have them. We just have to fine-tune them, work on them a little. While other characteristics are such that they have to be developed and they actually don't pre-exist. Another thing that you notice is that some of these Quranic characteristics involve adding something to your life, while others involve removing something from your life. So this thing may already exist. Greed already may exist. How do you get rid of it now? Pride already exists. How do I get rid of that pride? Now, when we look at the ayah that we're covering today, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is praising people, and he's praising people of paradise, praising people of Jannah. And one of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says is, وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ. These are people who control their anger. They're able to swallow their anger, not act upon it, not act out of line. They don't oppress other people. Now, the ulama, they write, Imam Abu Hamid al-Ghazali, rahimahullah ta'ala, he writes that there are three tiers to anger. There is a tier that involves having no anger at all. The second is having way too much anger where it's too frequent and you can't control it. And the third is anger that is moderate. So the first two are not praiseworthy. And yeah, the first one, which is to not have anger, that isn't praiseworthy. Many people would assume and think that having no anger is, you know, that's the goal. No, that's not a goal. There are times where you should be angry. There are times where it's important for you to get angry. Someone comes and says something foul to your child, to your spouse, to your parent. It's very natural for you to get angry. If someone provokes you, you should get upset. There should be an element of anger there. You know, Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah ta'ala, says that whoever is provoked, فَلَمْ يَغْضِبْ فَهُوَ حِمَارٌ, and that person does not get angry, then they are a donkey. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put that anger in us for a reason. It serves a purpose. Now the second is anger in excess. Now this can mean one of two things. Either it means that anger comes so frequently, it happens very quickly. And the second thing is that when it does come, it's very intense. And it pushes you to act upon it, to do something. You get angry frequently or infrequently, but when you get angry, you end up doing something. Something like, you know, pushing someone. Something like throwing something. Something like saying something bad to someone. Cussing someone out. Becoming aggressive. Oppressing another person in some way, shape, or form. Now, this is not good. And this is actually the most poisonous of all three. This is like the worst part of them. And because not only are you harming yourself by this anger, but you're bringing harm to other people. And that's something we definitely don't want. We never want to bring harm to another person. People who have excessive anger, uncontrollable anger, they are a calamity wherever they go. People are annoyed by them. People are bothered by them. Their family members are intimidated by them. I can't imagine the quality of life for a wife who is in such a relationship, a husband who is in a relationship that his wife can't control her anger. I can't imagine the quality of life for a parent whose child keeps losing their anger, or for a child whose parent keeps losing their anger. The people that are closest to you are the ones now who are like a sitting bomb that they can explode any moment. Rather than enjoying time with them, you'll be constantly wary with your guard up that God knows when this person is going to explode. Control your anger. Bring it down. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to a companion, he said, the companion said, O Messenger of Allah, advise me, awsini. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in response to that, he said to him, La taghdab, do not become angry. Control your anger. It'll bring peace. Now, a few things. Actually, let's cover the third one first. The third level of anger is what we call i'tidal, which is moderation. You know when to get angry and how far to go with it. And you also know when not to get angry and how to control it. This is the ideal place to be. This is where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. So, the question is, did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ever get angry in his life? And the clear answer to that is, absolutely. There are many examples of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam getting angry. Someone oppressed another person, he would get angry at the oppressor. Someone violated a command of Allah in a way that they should be reprimanded. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the first in line to reprimand that individual. Sometimes there would be anger. At other time when he was reprimanding them, there would be no anger, depending on who it was and what was going on. Similarly, there were people who Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appointed in the position of leadership. If anyone did something that was inconsiderate of the people that they were supposed to be leading, this would make Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upset. For example, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appointed Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu an to lead a group of companions in Isha Salah who lived away from the mosque of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was difficult for them to come for Isha every day. They lived far. They worked hard in the farms all day. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Mu'adh ibn Jabal to go to that community and lead them. He would pray with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and then go out there and lead them in prayer. One day, he led a very long prayer. He read extra long, longer than he normally would. The news reached Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Mu'adh is leading these long prayers and the people in the community are complaining and they're refusing to come to prayer now because this man's reading very long and it's difficult for them to stand that long after a whole day full of work. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu an, and he was very upset with him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very upset with him. And he said to him, أَفَتَّانٌ أَنْتَ يَا مُعَاذ؟ أَفَتَّانٌ أَنْتَ يَا مُعَاذ؟ Oh, Mu'adh, are you causing fitna? Are you making some sort of a commotion in the community? Are you bringing difficulty to the people? And then he says, مَنْ كَانَ الْإِمَامُ مِنْكُمْ فَلْيُخَفِّ فِي الصَّلَاةِ. Whoever is appointed as imam from among you, he should keep the prayer brief. Don't make it too long. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's anger did not mean that he was abusive with Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu. And neither does it mean that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was far behind in communicating how much he loved him. We look at other narrations and see how much Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cared for this young man, how much he took care of him and loved him and kept him close and educated him. Wallahi inni la uhibbuka ya Mu'adh. One time Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, by Allah, I love you very dearly, O Mu'adh. So that was unquestionable how much Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually loved Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu. Now, there were also examples of companions of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who would get angry. And sometimes their anger would push them to say something or do something that was out of line. One example is Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Great companion, beloved and dear to Allah. Beloved and dear to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But there are so many instances through Sira that you'll see that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu would get angry. And when he would get angry, sometimes he would take a step while acting upon his anger, that at times Allah azza wa jalla would reprimand him, and sometimes Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would reprimand him because he was so good of a person. So in Arabic we have a saying, Hasanatul Abrar Sayyiatul Muqarrabin, that sometimes a person is in a league of their own. Basic translation of that is that when a person's in a very high league and they're in a very unique place, even the small things they do that for other people would be dismissed, for this individual, there is accountability because of who they are, how special they are. One person doesn't pray two rak'ah sunnah after dhuhr, whatever. Another person is an imam, a scholar, a teacher, teacher of hadith, teacher of Quran, and they don't pray the two rak'ah. It's not appropriate. It's not the same. This person should be held to a higher standard. For example, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu becoming very upset with Mistah. Mistah was one of the people who was involved in the accusation against Aisha radiallahu anha. He was among the people who slipped, and he fell into the group of people who made that false accusation against Aisha radiallahu anha. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he got very upset with Mistah when the verses of the Quran were revealed stating that Aisha radiallahu anha was innocent. And he became so angry with Mistah that he refused to financially support him again, even though Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu did support him prior to the incident of the accusation. Allah Azza wa Jalla reprimands Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Similarly, once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was walking past, and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was scolding one of his servants, and his language was very harsh. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ala'anun wa siddiqun. That you use foul language or harsh language, and you are Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Siddiq means someone who's truthful, who's praised for his speech. And here you curse this man, you send la'na upon him. That is inappropriate. So there are so many examples like this, where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would educate his companions on fixing their anger and working on it. And I share this because sometimes we feel very distant from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that they didn't have the challenges that we have. And that's not true. They struggled as human beings like many of us struggle. But the amazing thing about them was their struggles didn't lead them to be defeatist and to just raise your hand and say, I surrender and I'm a loser. That's not what happened with them. Rather, they were able to control their anger. They were able to, you know, hold back the impulse they felt when experiencing anger. Now, how does a person control their anger? So for this, the ulama have suggested many things. Many things are suggested. There are some things they say that can be taken as preventative measures, things that can be done to prevent anger from even settling in. Or when I say prevent anger from settling in, what I mean is anger that will lead you to harming others or harming yourself. The first thing they say is make dua to Allah and ask Allah to protect you. Just on a normal day. Today, if you're not experiencing any anger, raise your hands and ask Allah, Ya Allah, save me from extreme anger. Because if I get caught in one of those moments, what if my marriage ends? What if I hurt someone? What if I hurt myself? Ilah al-Alameen, protect me from anger. The second thing is always remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is kind and forgiving. And He is kind to us every day. He forgives us every day. How inappropriate would it be that we offload our anger on other people while Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is only showing us kindness and mercy? The third thing, the ulama, they say that when you enter into your home, specifically, you should state out loud, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Because by doing this, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, shaitan leaves the home. And when shaitan leaves the home, the anger that a person experiences will either be less in frequency or more mild in its nature, because shaitan causes that anger. Number four, control your tongue. Many times you instigate people to make you angry. That's why control your tongue. Even before you get angry, don't say things that will instigate others to make you angry. Just control your tongue from the beginning. Be soft. Be easy. Be smooth. Bring love to people. You know, this is the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we look at it, it's beautiful. You know, the ulama, they say that if you decide to use harsh speech with anyone because that person is corrupt or bad or evil, just think of what Allah Azza wa Jalla said to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam and Harun when they were going to confront Fir'aun. There's no one out there who's as bad as Fir'aun is. The guy killed tons of people. He was an oppressor, claimed to be God. So he's right up there. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling Musa alayhi salam and Harun that when you go to Fir'aun and you talk to him, فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا. Be soft in your speech with him. So if Allah is telling Musa alayhi salam to be soft in speech to Fir'aun, then ask yourself, am I better than Musa? And is that person worse than Fir'aun? And if the answer is no, get rid of that bad speech. You'll bring a lot more peace to the lives of people. The next thing, number five, as a part of the preventative measures to avoid getting angry, the ulama, they say, it's important to understand that weak people are the ones who usually get angry. It's usually weak people. Kids get angry. Sick people get angry. You know, someone who's older in age, they get angry. People who are strong, they don't get angry. They're able to control their anger. This is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said. لَيْسَ الشَّدِيدُ بِسُرْعَةٍ. Toughness is not to throw someone on the ground. إِنَّمَا الشَّدِيدُ الَّذِي يَمْلِكُ نَفْسَهُ عَنْدَ الْغَضَبِ. Toughness is to control yourself at a time of anger. The ulama also write, number six, that make dhikr abundantly, because a dhikr brings peace to the heart. أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. What are some measures that you can take if you are already angry, you're actively angry at that time? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us to say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Number two, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا غَضِبَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَسْكُتْ قَالَهَا ثَلَاثًا. That when one of you is angry, he should stay silent. Don't make any important decision when you're angry. Don't do it, because you might regret it. Prophet ﷺ said, لَا يَقْضِيَنَّ حَكَمٌ بَيْنَ اثْنَيْنِ وَهُوَ غَضْبَانِ. A judge should not pass a verdict between two people while he is angry. Drink some water. you know, a water is a solution for dealing with anger. What is it? What do we mean by water? Some scholars say do wudu. Some say take a bath. Some say drink water. Some have even proposed give water as sadaqah, right? Another solution we see proposed by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to change your physical posture. If you're standing, sit down. If you're sitting, lie down. When your anger is done, when the anger passes by, some things to do right away. Number one, repair any wrong you did when you were angry. If you harm someone, if you said something to someone, go back and apologize. Number two, make dua for the person that you were angry at. Anyone that you lashed out at, go and make dua for them. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua, إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ أَرْضَى كَمَا يَرْضَى الْبَشَرُ وَأَغْضَبْ كَمَا يَغْضَبُ الْبَشَرُ فَأَيُّمَا مُسْلِمٍ سَبَبْتُهُ أَوْ جَلَدْتُهُ فَجَعَلْهَا لَهُ كَفَّارًا. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I am a human being. I get angry as others get angry. Ya Allah, anyone that I have shown anger to, make that a means of expiation and forgiveness for them. Give sadaqah on their behalf. Anyone that you are angry at, give a sadaqah on their behalf. And the last thing, if your anger is too intense for you to control, and if you notice it's too frequent, then consider getting professional help. Reach out to someone. Speaking to a therapist. Consider the different programs that are out there, because if it's a part of you and if it's something that's harming you and the people around you and you're struggling to get it under control yourself, maybe it's time to reach out to a professional. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us himma, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the strength to face our spiritual vices, and may he allow us to overcome them so we can be people of the Quran. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.